Hello, everyone. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you're listening to Habits into Health. In this podcast, you'll experience the Habits into Health perspective that helps you create your own personal and unique habit change plan. You'll get a chance to practice approaches that encourage you to draw on your bodily experience to help you shape your changes. And I call this letting your body lead so your mind doesn't have to. And although this is fundamental to the Habits into Health model, we don't leave out other sources because my goal is to give you more choices in changing behaviors that create problems for yourself or others. For this episode, we're going to talk about the difference between feeling angry and acting it out. This is part three of a conversation about the A in HALT. HALT is an acronym that reminds us not to get too hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. When you're dealing with your life's challenges, slipping back into old habits is really only a step away. So to prevent relapse, however you define that, you want to build your ability to recognize the signs of anger before you act them out. If you've listened before, you know that we start with an experiential exercise, and this helps you direct your attention to your sensory experience. Most people in the developed world, at least, have come to believe that our minds lead, that the mind is in charge. But even the latest research into the brain shows how physical the brain is. Your experience through the body is a source for recognizing everything you know, including the ability to sense the signals that old habits could be sneaking their way back in. Let's take a few moments to honor that. First off, notice where your attention goes when you hear the following question. What do you feel right now in this moment? Now, initially, do your best to attend to your physical experience of where your attention goes rather than answering the question itself. Question is content. Your experience of where you engage with the question is much more important for the purposes of this exercise. Do you find yourself hearing your own voice? Well, where does that happen? Do you realize that you're searching for words? Where exactly do you do that? Maybe you discover sensations in your belly or a shoulder or your left thigh. Or anywhere else. How do you engage with yourself when you hear this question? Do your eyes move in some way? Does your mouth compress or soften? Do you lift your chest or squeeze in your pelvis? Furrow your brow? Tighten in your hands? Just be with this process for a moment or two. Long enough to give yourself a felt sense of what you call your feelings. Now, take a rest from this activity. And as you do, notice what you change in yourself physically to do what you call rest. Tapping into your physical experience activates neural structures in your brain that are themselves cellular. That means physical. If this approach to self-knowing engages you or interests you, you can listen to other episodes by going to habitsintohealth.com and clicking on the podcast menu. You can also click links on the website to follow Habits into Health on Facebook, LinkedIn, on Twitter, and other online communities. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and I'm the host of this show. Today, we're going to continue talking about HALT, which is a reminder to be attentive to whether you are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. That's because these states often lead to a kind of vulnerability that could slip you back into the habits that you want to say goodbye to. In this episode, we're going to talk about another aspect of the anger in HALT. But first, let me review some basic things to keep in mind about anger that we covered in the last two podcasts. If you haven't had a chance to listen to them, you can find them under the Halt the Anger title, parts 1 and 2. And I'll summarize them here briefly. First, appreciate and attend to small changes. Do you recognize the ways that you carry around your anger, however small it is? Halt is a really good maxim to follow, not only because being attentive to your anger when it's small can make it a lot easier to deal with sooner rather than later, but when you address your anger when it's small, you'll notice changes in your experience of yourself and in your relationships. Acknowledging these smaller changes is an important part of the change process. That's because if you only credit yourself with big changes, it really leads to dissatisfaction because, change is like a carrot on a stick hanging in front of you. There will always be another goal to reach. So give yourself credit for each small accomplishment along the way. 2, own your feelings in yourself and identify those feelings on a continuum. Anger isn't just one emotion, and it's not even the same emotion in all people or even in you from one time to another. Being able to recognize your own feeling states, and especially in relationship to others, communicating from your own experience, guides you back to center more fluidly. Many times people use words as if they were feelings, when they're not. Well, how can you know? There are two ways, actually. The first is to notice your habits of speech. If you have a tendency to say, I feel like, or I feel that, or I feel you, him, her, or they, the words that follow the word feel will not be feelings. What will follow I feel in these cases will be statements, interpretations, assessments, analysis, and often there'll be judgments tinged with some level of anger. Second, if you say, I feel, check in with whether the word or words that follow are completely held within you, rather than implying that someone or something outside you has caused your feelings. Like it or not, you're the source of your own feelings, even if someone else has behaved inappropriately or done something that disappointed you. Besides, just on a practical level, if you're trying to work out an issue with someone else, you're much more likely to create possibility for communication if you talk about your own feelings. For instance, if you say, I feel upset, you'll get farther than if you say, I feel judged, because the latter implies the other person is judging you. So do some educated listening in the next week or two, not just listening to your own speaking pattern about this, but also the ways that others speak. You will be amazed at how many people talk about feelings when they're not really talking about feelings at all. Today, we're discussing the difference between having feelings and acting on them. As a therapist, over the years, I've noticed a lot of clients who either blame themselves for feeling angry or judge others for expressing feelings of anger, and often both. Now, while none of us is perfect, almost everyone has at one time or another felt something on the continuum from bothered to enraged. I certainly know I have. When I was younger, I was bothered or irritated more easily. Anger is usually packaged up with a bunch of other stuff, including all those ways we learned to manage or not manage anger in our history, memories of how others treated us from long ago to yesterday, the consequences we experienced from these feelings, and the consequences from any of our own behavior based on those feelings. The burden of this can become so heavy that many people end up feeling depressed. What we tend to confuse, though, are angry feelings from angry behavior. Most people don't allow themselves to acknowledge anger, perhaps because in their younger years there were consequences to expressing it. but it's possible to express anger in appropriate ways. I'm remembering a time when a student in a class I taught had broken a very firm rule about not sharing information about other students outside of the class. One student had learned that something had been said about her in another class, and she was very hurt and angry about this. But she didn't know what to do because she didn't know who had breached her privacy. She only knew that she had shared the information in my class, so she came to me. And I was very angry myself that this boundary had been broken. I didn't map out a plan specifically, but I knew it could not be ignored. And as it happened, I just let myself be in my feelings. And I was able to express my anger in a very effective way by very slowly and quietly expressing it. Without identifying the student who was wronged or seeking to punish the wrongdoer, it was one of those classic, you could hear a pin drop moments. I invited everyone to think of a time when they had experienced anger over an injustice that had been done to them, whether it involved disclosures about them or not. In the process of sharing that followed, the person who had spoken out of turn volunteered remorse. And as the class then explored ways students had perpetrated an injustice or done something, a deep process of closeness and connection occurred. Everyone in the room experienced the value of expressing anger without having to yell, as well as the consequences of not honoring someone else's privacy. It was a very powerful experience for me, as well as for all my students. There is a difference between feeling something and acting out around it. You may feel unhappy that you're angry, but you'll feel even worse if you act it out. Acting out could be just yelling, or it could be the silent treatment of withdrawing or stonewalling. It could be something more, striking out physically with a hand or a fist, using an object by throwing something, even pushing or shoving. It turns out that when people feel embarrassed, guilty, or defensive about their anger, it's much more likely that it's because they acted out their feelings in some kind of visible behavior. Can you relate to that? From the Habits into Health perspective, you can let your experience of your physical self lead the way without having to act it out. You have muscle memory that has a history, and you can learn to modify these tissue states, letting this inform the stories you tell yourself about who you are. If you lead with your stories without attuning to the body, you could be spinning fairy tales. But if you're attentive to the buildup of tension in you to signal your feelings, then you're getting somewhere. You can practice different tools, most of which involve some kind of action to reorganize this. It could be tightening a little bit and loosening a little bit. Many people use physical activity to discharge this tension in a healthy manner. Jogging, Aikido or other martial arts, walking, yoga or Tai Chi. Some people find journaling to be really helpful, just writing it down. Many people come to therapy to talk in a neutral zone about unresolved feelings of anger, anxiety, or depression. What's your way? Regardless, it's a good maxim to be attentive, because rather than avoiding anger, it's best to address it sooner when it's small, rather than waiting until it's larger than life. This makes it so much more easy to manage. It's time to sign off for now, and we've only cracked a little bit of halt as a self-caring way that you can use to support you in stabilizing your habit change. In future shows, I'll say more And we'll continue to explore many ways that you can create your plan for changing a habit or sustaining new behaviors and growing yourself into your best future. In Habits into Health, we focus on giving you more choices in making the changes you want to make, regardless of the habit that you're dealing with. So bring your questions and comments to habitsintohealth.com. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you've been listening to Habits into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.